Genesis chapter 39. I'm reminded of a couple of things as I stand up before you tonight. One of them is that I noticed that several of our folks took our counsel this morning and decided to go down and be at the funeral visitation for Curtis McAvoy's mom, Mildred McAvoy, down in Washington, Georgia. I know that for sure because at least one family came by the house there. I'm getting a red light here, Noel. I may need a battery in this one. Do what? It's out. No battery, huh? Yep. All right. And also, to finish that thought, I wish you would pray for those folks and that the Lord would be in that. I love Curtis and Linda, and they have been a blessing. Linda's health has been terrible for the last little while, and just not seen as much of them. But I remember that Linda, back years ago when the church was in trouble, she and another lady would come here to the church and meet and pray for Crooked Creek and just ask the Lord to be with us. And God marvelously answered their prayers. And so we're so thankful for what they did. I will always love that family for that reason. Then also, I'm reminded of something else that is even more pleasant. And that is that as I stand up here to preach right now, there is another Crooked Creeker from long ago, Brother Randy Epps, who's standing up down in South Georgia and preaching the Word of God for the first time. And I wish we could stop right now and ask the Lord to be with Brother Randy. And let's see, who do I want to pick on here? I want to pick on someone who has actually had to stand up and preach for the first time. Brother Ricky, didn't you... weren't you and Randy teaching at the same time down in the youth department? I thought you were. You taught the older guys, and Randy taught the younger guys. Would you stand right now, brother, and just call on the Lord and ask the Lord to be with Brother Randy right now?
Father, we just delight in the fact that you still call Randy. And Lord, we pray now for Randy. This is the first message he delivered as far as to a public gathering like that in the church. Right now, I pray
for his Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. All right. Well, Genesis chapter 39, wonderful section in the Word of God. And as you know, we've been studying the life of Joseph, the mighty patriarch, the last of the big four, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And Joseph, the one who really carried on the great heart that God gave to Abraham. And he was the one, you'll remember, who is just really a study and a lesson to all young people and all not so young people because of what God taught him and what God did through his life. But anyway, Genesis chapter 39, last week you'll remember we read verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now, here's where we start for tonight. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. That is our title for tonight, a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Let's stop and pray once again. Father, I do pray, Lord, that you would be with me tonight, Lord, and fill me with your Spirit. You know all the circumstances here, and I pray that you might do that which is absolutely impossible. You are the God of the impossible. And stir my heart and speak through me, and Lord, that you would awaken our folk tonight to what you would have them to hear. Lord, we come to you, and our trust is in you, our dependence on you, in Jesus' name, amen. Did you note when I read that, and then also when I mentioned the title, A Prosperous Man, that word, the word prosperous? What does the Bible mean? What did Moses, when he penned these words so many years ago, 1400 B.C., 3400 and some odd years ago, what did Moses mean when he said Joseph was a prosperous man? Now, in our thinking, a prosperous man is someone who has made a lot of money. They have prospered in what they've done, and that's kind of our view of the thing. But the Hebrew word that's used here is a fascinating word. Originally, it meant, and you got to get this, it meant to rush, R-U-S-H, to rush. And the idea here originally was that prosperity was when a person was actually being rushed. That is, something was pushing them along and helping them to do things that they could not have done otherwise. That is, they were being pushed along. You'll find that when there is a great truth out there, there will always be these maxims, these sayings that reflect that truth. Have you ever heard the saying that someone had the wind at their back? It's a very, very graphic saying. They have the wind at their back. They're being pushed along. Airplane pilots know all about this. They know that you can travel one direction to California and you can make a certain amount of speed and time. But then you turn around and come the other way when the wind is at your back and you can make much, much better time. And so that's the wind at your back. And so what this is saying right here is that there was a wind at Joseph's back, that he was being pushed along here faster and better than he would have ever been able to go on his own. Now, the world recognizes this, but they don't know how to explain it. They say, well, you know, so-and-so is just lucky. That is the luckiest guy I have ever met in my life. Now, a lot of you know that I am a Brand X football fan. I don't say it too often, too loud around here, but I'm a Brand X football fan. That's the Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech, and I just feel that way about it very strongly. And but however, we Tech fans used to have a saying about Georgia, and that was that Georgia was the luckiest team in the world. We always said, you know, if there's a fumble in the fourth quarter, somebody in red is going to get that fumble. I mean, it's just automatic. It's on autopilot. The balls are magnetic, and they fly toward the hands of those Georgia players. We just aggravated the stuffings out of us. But the truth is, that's not the way it happens. What happens is that those players are drilled in that. They learn that, what to do when a fumble. They're drilled and drilled and drilled in that. And so sometimes we get to thinking that this thing that is called luck is just blind luck. Or this thing where we say, well, someone, whatever he touches turns to gold. And we say that's just kind of an accident. But let me ask you something. Is prosperity an accident? Is that an accident? Is success that comes out of prosperity, is that an accident? No, it is never that. It is always because there is wind. There is something at the back of that. Something is always driving it. You know, a sailing ship can sail no matter what direction the wind is blowing, almost. That is, the wind can be blowing almost any direction, and a sailing ship can make progress. If the ship is attempting to go in this direction and the wind is blowing this way, the wise captain can set the sail at a certain angle so that the wind goes across the sail like that and the ship is pushed forward. Or even when the wind is contrary to them, they can actually take advantage of it by turning that sail at a certain angle and sailing this way a little bit and then turning around, resetting the sail and setting it, sailing that way a little bit. And they go back and forth, but they're actually making forward progress. I'm told that that maneuver is called tacking. But the best progress that they make is when the wind is at their back, pushing them along. And here was Joseph, and the Bible says that he wasn't lucky, but instead something was pushing him along. Now, what is the secret of prosperity? When someone is being successful, they are being prosperous, what is the secret to that? We as Bible believers should always understand that God has the answer. He puts the secrets in His Word. And the answer to that question right there of what causes someone to be prosperous is right here in the text. The Bible says, "And the Lord was with Joseph." The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. The wind at his back was the wind of the Holy Spirit that was pushing him along. Now, beloved, we're going to talk a lot tonight about this prosperity that Joseph had. And it's going to turn toward material prosperity that he was able to bring into the life of Potiphar. But you and I ought to understand that the prosperity that we need is not altogether material, though we do need a certain degree of that. But what we really need is spiritual prosperity. We need to prosper in the things of the Lord. And what we're seeing here is very symbolic. The way Joseph became materially prosperous for his master is the same way, basically, that you and I become spiritually prosperous. We have to do whatever it takes to get the wind of God at our back. You know, what you see in Joseph's life is not luck, it's not fortune, it's not an accident. What we need is the Lord to make us prosperous in whatever we do. You know, it's interesting that we see that from our perspective of 3,400 years later or so. But fascinatingly enough, this wasn't something that Potiphar, the captain of the Lord's host, was blind to himself. The Bible says, and this is a fascinating verse here in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 3. It says, "His master saw that the Lord was with him." Now, you know, beloved, it's interesting that Joseph was in the house of Potiphar. Notice that it doesn't say that he was in the field of Potiphar. Why was he in the house? I mean, he came in, no doubt, following that camel. He was dirty and grungy, and he looked like the slave that he had become. But somehow Potiphar, being a very wise man, soon realized that this slave was different. That this slave had something that the other slaves didn't have. You know, if you're a smart person, you have to learn. If you're a successful person, you have to learn to discern people. You have to learn to look and see what that person is capable of doing and what that person is capable of doing. And you have to discern them and see them. And Potiphar was no dummy. He had gotten to be captain of Pharaoh's guard by not being stupid, but by being smart and being discerning. And so immediately Potiphar used the same system with Joseph that he used with the rest of his slaves and with his soldiers in his army. And he said, "You know, that kid right there, that kid's got something. I don't know exactly what it is, but that kid's got something. And this is not a field slave that I'm looking at here. This kid is smart. And so what I'm going to do is bring him into the house because I can tell that he knows letters and numbers. And I'm going to use him in the house. He's too smart for out there in the field." And so Potiphar, being the wise man that he was, discerned Joseph and put him in the house there rather than the field. Now, notice that it doesn't just say that he noticed Joseph because he was really smart. Notice that it doesn't say that he noticed Joseph because Joseph was good at what he did. But verse 3 says, his master saw what? That the Lord was with him. Now, isn't that interesting? Here you've got this unsaved man, Potiphar. And he is not a believer in the Lord. And yet he looks at this man, Joseph, this young man, and he says, wow, that kid's good. Wow, that kid is sharp. Something is driving that kid. Something is in him. He's not like anyone that I've ever met. And Potiphar, this very wise man, began to think about Joseph. Maybe he would lie in bed at night and talk to his wife about Joseph. And he'd say, you know, that kid is just too good. Nobody is that good. What is it? And slowly it probably began to dawn on Potiphar that Joseph's God must be the reason. He said, I see that Joseph sometimes, and all the other slaves will be carousing around. And he said, I see that Joseph with his face turned back toward Israel, and he's bowing down, and he's calling out to his God. And after he calls out that God, he seems to have such peace in his heart. It must be that. There's nothing else that it could be. It has to be because his God is with him. And the Bible says that Potiphar looked at that, and he saw that his Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. He saw that. Now, I think that is doubly significant because Potiphar had never believed in the Lord before. And now he was forced by the facts that he observed to receive what he had formerly dismissed. He had always dismissed this God of the Hebrews. Ha, ha, ha. Sure, a desert God. He had always blown that away. My troops and I, we'd go down and wipe out those Israelis, few Jews out there. We could wipe them out, no problem. And he had always dismissed the true God until this came along. And then he sees what this true God does in Joseph's life, and he's forced to accept it. Now, maybe there's someone here, and you have never been a believer in Jesus. In fact, you've always dismissed the whole thing. But now, new facts are coming to you. You're seeing God do things in people's lives that cannot be explained any other way. Can I give you some advice? Do exactly what Potiphar did and accept what the facts are telling you. Accept that this God thing is really true, and this is reality, and don't be hard-headed. See, a wise man is always an open-minded man. He hears what the facts are telling him. Be wise. Then finally, I want you to see the success that God gave to Joseph. I titled this particular point here, The Success of Prosperity. Now think about that just a moment. The success of prosperity. It sounds redundant, doesn't it? Someone says, wait a minute, aren't prosperity and success the same thing? Not really. The way the Bible uses the word prosperity, it is the blessing of God that is working in Joseph's life. Success is the result that comes out of the prosperity. And so you've got Joseph here, and Joseph begins working with the power of the Lord behind him, and the prosperity begins to work in his life, and he becomes more and more successful, and Potiphar sees him becoming more and more successful. But something else happens. Not just is Potiphar being blessed, not only are his household riches rising, but the Bible says, and I think this is so funny in verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight. See, Potiphar liked Joseph. He just liked him. But it was the kind of like that is dependent on, or is based on Joseph's character and his personality and his performance and his attitude. Joseph charmed Potiphar. He just charmed him by what he was. The Bible says, or gives us one illustration of this. It says that he found grace in the sight of Potiphar, and then the Bible says that he served him. Notice how closely connected this is with finding grace. Some say, now listen to this. Some say, I wonder why no one likes me. They say, I wonder why no one likes me. Every time I've ever heard that, it has been so obvious to me why no one liked them. No one liked them because they never serve anyone. There's no secret to making people like you. Just serve them. Pharaoh, or Potiphar right here, liked this kid who was serving him. He just liked him. He had a good attitude. He had a good personality. Everything he put in Joseph's hand seemed to prosper, and he liked him. But likewise, there is no secret to having friends. I watch and people say, I don't have any friends. I don't have any friends. Well, the reason you don't have any friends is you never serve anybody. If you would serve people, you would have friends. The reason you don't have friends is because, listen to me, the reason you don't have friends is because you want to have friends and you don't want to be a friend. That's the reason you don't have friends. You can't pout your way to friends. You cannot complain your way to friends. You cannot whine your way to friends, can you? In fact, all those things are very repulsive. They send people away from us. I have a very dear friend, and all of you know it. I talk about him all the time. Brother Ronnie Heelan from over at Calvary Baptist Church. He came out of this one, and I love that guy to death. There's a reason why he's my friend today. The reason is that when I first came to Crooked Creek, he came and met me. I didn't go meet him. He came and met me, and he came and began to try to help me. He tried to serve me. He would try to encourage me. He would try to be a blessing to me. And I began to like that guy. Now, I'll do anything for Ronnie Heelan. He's just my buddy. He's my friend. But I didn't make him for a friend. He made me for a friend. And he made me very loyal to him because he just served me. He tried to help me. And I found out something. That guy's got friends all over the place. There's a man named Billy Driscoll who at one time was a pastor over at Hope Baptist Church toward Winder. And Brother Billy was a very fine man. I know, and he's now attending Calvary over there with Brother Ronnie Heelan. His health is not the best in the world, and he's over there. The reason he came over with Brother Heelan is that when he first came to Calvary over there, Ronnie came to Brother Driscoll, and he said, look, I pastor the church right down the road down here. We're down there. If you ever need anything, you just let me know. I'll try to help you all I can. And he went and befriended Billy Driscoll. Billy never forgot it. I tell you, when you first become pastor of a church, it's kind of a lonely moment there, and you need lots of friends. And so that's how he made those friends. I find that if you will be a friend, you will have friends. If you will serve people, you will have friends. There's no secret to it whatsoever. Not only that, there's no secret to promotion either. You'll notice here that when Potiphar began to watch Joseph, and he began to notice that whatever he put into Joseph's hand prospered. And so the Bible says that Potiphar began to put more and more into Joseph's hand until he had made this very young man the overseer over all his house. Now, it would have been a rather significant household. This man was no doubt quite wealthy. He had many slaves, and there were all kinds of people out there in his household, all kinds of other servants who had more seniority, who were older, who probably even knew more than Joseph did. But Joseph was godly. Joseph was prosperous. Joseph had a good attitude. Joseph had a pleasing personality about him. Joseph worked hard, quite obviously. Joseph kept his mind on his business. And Potiphar said, you know, what I'm going to do with that guy, he will do me more good the higher I promote him, so I'm going to promote him right up to the top. You want to know the secret of getting to the top? The secret of man putting you in a higher position, or even God putting you in a higher position? It is learning to serve, and learning to serve with a right attitude, making people like you, making people trust you. And it's all about getting to where God is blessing you and where God is working in your life, where God is prospering you, and where what you touch turns to gold. I mentioned King Midas this morning. And my knowledge of myth is kind of limited. But if I remember about King Midas, wasn't he the guy that everything he touched turned to gold? Was that King Midas? That's the right guy. And but if someone ever gets the idea that everything you touch turns to gold, they're going to let you touch as much as they can touch. They will promote you. And I want you to notice that Potiphar, like any smart employee, if he understands that you can make him more money up here than down here, he's going to promote you. And Potiphar wasn't afraid to promote Joseph. Why wasn't he afraid to promote this kid? Because Joseph had proven consistently all the way through that he was going to serve Potiphar. Potiphar knew that he was going to serve him and, listen, promote his best interest. He said, that kid is loyal right there. That kid will not, the moment I get my back turned, stick a knife in my back. That guy there is a loyal guy, and therefore I'm going to promote him, because Joseph's loyalty had been proven by his humble service to Potiphar. So here was Joseph, obviously still this young man, and he was placed over every other servant, every other person who was there. More experienced men, more knowledgeable men, all the women of the household, and Joseph was over the whole thing. You know, those of us who are in leadership are always looking for prosperous people. We're always looking for it. Now, we are not looking for whiners. We are not looking for sluggards. We are not looking for those who are constantly trying to get out of something. We are looking for those who can touch something and make it work. Touch something and have the blessing of God placed on it. In church work, you begin to notice people who are spiritual. You give them something and they attack it spiritually. You give them a class and they begin to pray and seek God about that class. They become evangelistic. They want to reach people in that class. You give them a job in some just manual area. You put them in charge of grounds or building or whatever, cleaning or whatever. And if they attack that with real diligence and serve God in it, you mark that person. You say, you know, that person does it right. They believe the Scripture that says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And they attack it, and they really serve. They try to serve the Lord. They try to serve those who sent them. You know, I found out that there is nothing that is more appreciated than a prosperous man. Nothing. Someone who can be depended on. I quit a little bit earlier tonight. Maybe it's through guilt for this morning. I don't know what it is. But I'm quitting a little bit earlier tonight because I kind of want you to think about what I'm telling you.